Hello, this is TV Guide Magazine for September 30th through October 13th. I'm Rachel Renner. We'll get started with Ask Matt. America's top TV critic Matt Rausch answers your burning questions. The first question is from Lorraine. She says, I have never seen The Conners, but I can't believe they are trying to put Dan, played by John Goodman, with another woman. I love Katie Sagal, but this seems wrong. No matter how you feel about the real Roseanne, the character of Roseanne Conner deserves better. If I didn't want to watch it before, I sure don't want to watch it now. I can't find it entertaining to see Dan and Roseanne's marriage be forgotten or made to be nothing. Matt Rausch says, I advocate watching something before you judge. But even so, I don't see how expecting the character of Dan to stay in a perpetual state of mourning honors or even reflects the character and nature of his late wife. As Conner's exec producer Bruce Helford noted in our Returning Favorites issue in September 16th, Dan is still having difficulty getting over Roseanne. If this storyline depicts Dan's emotional struggle with the integrity that Roseanne and the Conners have been known for, then more power to it. The second question is from Chelsea. She says, is National Geographic Channel planning a new season of Genius, maybe profiling a woman next time? Matt Rausch says, it's like they read your mind. After telling the life stories of Albert Einstein and Pablo Picasso in past seasons, Genius will turn to a female legend, the fabulous Aretha Franklin, for its next project. The producers initially considered Frankenstein author Mary Shelley as a subject before turning to Aretha. No casting yet, but how fitting to pay this superstar the R-E-S-P-E-C-T she deserves. And now, tribute, Cokie Roberts, 1943 to 2019. Journalist Cokie Roberts, born Mary Martha Corinne Morrison Claiborne Boggs, considered going into the family business. Her parents, Hale and Lindy, both served long terms in the U.S. House of Representatives. But she opted to cover, not enter, politics. Practically growing up on Capitol Hill, she told the TV Academy in 2018 was very helpful in her chosen profession. Roberts, who died September 17th at 75 of complications from breast cancer, made her mark as a journalist and political analyst in the days when newswomen had to fight to get their voices heard. Winner of 3 Emmys, she was a knowledgeable, thoughtful observer and explainer of world events and Washington policies. Roberts was best known for her NPR commentary and 3 decades with ABC News, most notably on This Week, which she co-anchored with Sam Donaldson from 1996 to 2002. She continued as a contributor until a month before her passing. Named a living legend by the Library of Congress in 2008, one of many accolades, Roberts also mentored young women in her field and wrote bestsellers about America's founding mothers. Friends, colleagues, and even some critics noted that she managed her career as well as her family. She and journalist husband Stephen V. Roberts had 2 children, with unfailing kindness, generosity, and integrity. By Ileana Rudolph. And now for the cover story, The Politician, series premiere Friday, September 27th on Netflix. The perfect candidate. Netflix bets $300 million that producer Ryan Murphy can help it win the streaming wars. His opening shot, the biting dramedy The Politician, starring Ben Platt as a wannabe student body president. By Jim Halterman. Do not screw with my dream, Peyton Hobart warns at the outset of The Politician, producer Ryan Murphy's new satire about an ambitious teenager hell-bent on becoming class president at his exclusive California high school. Peyton plans to use that platform as a springboard to Harvard University, and from there, the Oval Office. Yes, that Oval Office. And if that sounds like a ridiculous scheme and a ridiculous plot, well, it is. But that's part of the fun of watching the politician and Peyton himself, who's as power-hungry as Cersei Lannister. Just subtract the evil and add some expensive sweaters. He's headstrong and has a lot of ambition and really makes himself known in a room, explains Ben Platt, who plays the laser-focused pupil. He has a very, very clear vision. Headstrong and ambitious? Sounds like Murphy himself. For 2 decades, he has been relentless in developing envelope-pushing, cutting-edge TV, which is exactly why Netflix lured the Emmy-winning Glee and American Horror Story creator away from his previous home, 20th Century Fox Television, in 2018. And The Politician is the first of many projects, including the 1940s set drama Hollywood, due next year, that Murphy and Netflix hope will become hits for the streamer. Considering that he was reportedly paid $300 million for a 5-year deal, he sold The Politician to Netflix separately before signing that agreement, the pressure is on to deliver. His new bosses are confident he will. Our viewers are really excited for anything Ryan does, and that'll naturally attract a sizable audience, says Netflix Vice President of Original Content Cindy Holland, who notes that Murphy's series, such as Pose and The People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story, which the company licensed and streams, are subscriber favorites. Ryan is one of the most prominent storytellers of our time. We felt it was important to have him here. His first offering arrives at just the right time. Not long after Netflix drops all season 1 episodes of The Politician on September 27th, the streaming wars will heat up as new services Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus, launching November 1st and 12th respectively, vie for the same customers. Netflix's investment in Murphy, along with the $150 million it's paying Grey's Anatomy's Shonda Rhimes and the $100 million Blackish's Kenya Barris is getting, represents a sizable chunk of its multi-billion dollar content budget, meaning Netflix isn't afraid of expensive combat. But Murphy wasn't thinking of any streaming battle. For him, the move was a natural next step. I am an avid television watcher, and Netflix is my go-to place, he tells TV Guide magazine. Another bonus, the deal comes with ample freedom for the creator who developed The Politician with longtime collaborators and exec producers Brad Falchuk and Ian Brennan. Netflix doesn't have rules. You can make your own, and that was appealing to me, he says. He's not just talking nudity or language. Episode 5 of The Politician clocks in at 28 minutes, quite short for a 1-hour series. Netflix didn't blink. That's the story we wanted to tell in that episode, which I never could have done anywhere else, so that's liberating, Murphy says. Indeed, with a track record that includes hits as varied as Fox's first responders drama 911 and HBO's The Normal Heart, a film based on Larry Kramer's 1985 play about the AIDS crisis, the workaholic isn't interested in repeating what he's done before at this point in his career. I could have coasted. I could have stayed in the same groove with the same rigor, but I wanted to shake up my life, says Murphy, who's on the job 7 days a week. I work harder on everything. I spend twice as long on the edits. But I enjoy trying to move toward the perfection of something and making it the best that it can be. His stamp is all over The Politician. He personally recruited Platt to join the cast. The actor remembers Murphy coming to see him headline Broadway's Dear Evan Hansen, and after the show he said, "We've got to work together." And Murphy is so detail-oriented that he even helped style Jessica Lange's manipulative character Dusty Jackson, who is the grandmother of Peyton's running mate, the timid Infinity, played by Zoe Deutsch. Ryan wanted a big mullet and crazy clothes, Lang recalls with a laugh. I walked out of the makeup trailer after we did the whole look for the first time, and he thought it was just fabulous. so that was what we went with. The actress, who won 2 Emmys for her work in American Horror Story and portrayed film legend Joan Crawford in Murphy's 2017 limited series Feud, Betty and Joan, knows what she's getting when signing on with Murphy. "He never disappoints when it comes to characters," she says, adding, "We lock horns once in a while about how far I'll take certain aspects of a role. Think Lang's blush-inducing munch butts line featured in the trailer." Recalls Murphy, "When she read that in the script, she said, 'I can't say that.' And I said, 'I trust you.' It's part of a conversation." Judith Light agrees. The actress, who earned an Emmy nomination for her performance in Murphy's The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story, and also stars in The Politician, to avoid spoilers, we won't reveal her role, says that everyone feels incredibly taken care of on a Ryan Murphy production. "I don't mean by that hand-holding," she continues. "I mean supported in the vision and what it's going to look like, how your character will be defined. It's the kind of out-of-the-box thinking that's spectacular." The most unique thing about The Politician, ultimately, is its scope and ambition. Though the series, which was green-lighted with a 2-season order, is set in high school for now, it's not about the trials and tribulations of teenage life. "I'm not interested in high school at all," Murphy clarifies. "What I'm interested in with The Politician is the life of a man. I'm interested in starting when Ben's character is 18, because by the end of the run of the series, he will be 42 or 43. Every season of the show is going to be a different political race in his life." Peyton's journey begins at Santa Barbara, California's fictional St. Sebastian High School. We find out in the opening scene he's been planning his path to the White House since age 7. But before he can even dream of claiming 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue as his address, Peyton first has to win the competitive student body election and defeat his icy opponent, Astrid Sloan, played by Bohemian Rhapsody's Lucy Boynton, who, for various reasons, is running neck and neck with him. Taking a page from the current cynical and cutthroat political culture, Peyton eyes cancer-stricken classmate Infinity, who, in another twist, might actually be healthy, as his running mate, to help pull at the heartstrings of voters. Meanwhile, Astrid has gay black student Sky, played by newcomer Rainn Jones, on her ticket. Peyton may pander, it's true, but he's no soulless politico. We quickly see he's close with his loving adoptive mom, Georgina, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, a Glee veteran who's also married to exec producer Falchuk. She protects him from his bullying older brothers, twins Martin and Luther, played by Trey and Trevor Eason, and encourages her husband Keaton, played by Bob Balaban, to treat Peyton the same as his biological boys. Platt found Paltrow to be the perfect partner in bringing the unbreakable mother-son bond to life. "She really welcomed me into her arms, figuratively and literally, and our scenes were very important for Peyton, because you get to see his humanity," he says. As the action unfolds over the 8 episodes, you will see plenty of folks from the producer's past projects. In addition to Lang, Paltrow, and Light, American Horror Story alum Dylan McDermott also pops up as Astrid's shallow dad. Plus, new bold-faced names he's collaborating with for the first time. Mad Men's January Jones appears as Astrid's dippy mom. Tennis legend Martina Navratilova guest stars as the Hobart's horse trainer, who may or may not have feelings for Georgina. And the legendary Bette Midler co-stars in another top-secret role. "She's extraordinary," teases Light, who shares scenes with the 2-time Oscar nominee. And while The Politician isn't a musical a la Glee, Platt, who broke out in 2012's a cappella comedy Pitch Perfect, does sing a few times, which pleased the Tony winner. "Ryan was smart about wanting to use all the tools in my belt," he says. "Singing is a great way to see a side of Peyton when he's not posturing." So, to sum up, pop tunes, risque humor, surprising guest stars, and Jessica Lange in a wig? Yep, it's definitely a Ryan Murphy production. And because his formula has worked so well before on Fox and FX, Netflix is banking it will work for them too. Notes Murphy, they have a lot of faith in me. Fan favorites. Will Tony return to NCIS? It almost seems too much to ask. Now the beloved Cody DiPablo is back on NCIS, or formidable Mossad NCIS vet Ziva David appears in the CBS hit's first two episodes and again later in the season. Could Ziva's love interest and sparring partner, irreverent fellow agent Tony DiNozzo, played by Michael Weatherly, return for a guest spot too? When Weatherly departed the procedural in 2016, 3 years after DiPablo's exit, he told TV Guide magazine he'd be willing to come back if the story needed him. He also revealed he'd started thinking about leaving when DiPablo said goodbye in 2013. The great dynamic, badinage, and flirting between the two characters, and how they would swing from siblings to near lovers and back to buddies, was gone, he explained. I felt like I had stayed at the party too long. Well, that party is still going strong, and Weatherly has an open invitation to attend, at least from the show's fans. When we interviewed DiPablo and lead Mark Harmon, aka NCIS boss Leroy Jethro Gibbs, for the cover feature in our last issue, they noted that Ziva's storyline includes not just saving Gibbs's life, but also protecting her and Tony's daughter, Tali. When asked whether Tony himself would resurface, the two were cryptic. Maybe, Harmon said of the character, who was last seen after Ziva's presumed death. Tony then quit NCIS to take care of the toddler he didn't know he'd fathered until Mossad agents brought her to him. Harmon and DiPablo also pointed out that Weatherly now stars on another CBS drama, Bull. NCIS showrunners Stephen D. Binder and Frank Cardea gave us this statement on the subject. Will Tony return? Will fans see an older Tali? Will Ziva have a happy ending? These are the questions we hear every day, from fans to friends to family, and we love it. It is a rarity to have fans this passionately invested in a series 17 seasons in, and we don't take that for granted. While we can't reveal the answers at this time, we can say these are the same questions we ask ourselves in the writer's room as we plot Ziva's return and future. Viewers are resoundingly hoping the answer includes the word Tiva. By Kate Hahn. And now for Tastemakers by Kate Hahn. Carla Hall. Her warm, light-hearted Southern personality made Carla Hall a fan favorite on seasons 5 and 8 of Bravo's Top Chef. Since then, the Nashville native has done tons of TV, including co-hosting ABC's The Chew for 7 seasons and voicing herself in an episode of Netflix's BoJack Horseman. Her current gig, judging Food Network's Halloween Baking Championship. The finale will air right before the holiday. The Howard University grad and one-time accountant, runway model, and, as she calls herself, recovering caterer, shares her food philosophy. The interviewer says, "On Top Chef, you touted cooking with love. How do you define that?" Hall says, "It starts out with the intention of making really great food for someone you care about. It sounds kind of ethereal, but you don't..." Hall says, "It starts out with the intention of making really great food for someone you care about. It sounds kind of ethereal, but you have to want to do it. Sometimes you don't want to cook, so you dig deep and find a reason. It's the way I nurture people." The interviewer asks, "Who taught you to cook?" Hall says, "I didn't start cooking until my mid-20s. I was in Paris modeling. The models would go to Sunday brunch at the home of a woman from Memphis, Tennessee. It reminded me of Sunday suppers at my grandmother's, but I realized I had no idea how the food was made. I started buying cookbooks. Cooking became a way for me to thank the people who allowed me to couch surf. The interviewer asks, "What's always in your fridge?" Hall says, "Chow chow, a pickled relish in the South. It's chopped up vegetables like cabbage, green tomatoes, and peppers. I eat it on everything. Eggs, a hot dog, pimento cheese on a cracker." The interviewer asks, "How do you change what you cook at home in the fall?" Hall says, "I love sweet potatoes, squash, and pumpkin. I just ordered a disposable smoker bag, this cheap thing from Amazon. It was so freaking awesome. I smoked sweet potatoes, then charred them on the griddle. I roasted corn, threw some onion on my griddle pan, and then had this beautiful salad with romaine lettuce, lemon juice, olive oil, a little apple cider vinegar." The interviewer says, "If you could give a home cook one piece of advice, what would it be?" Hall says, "Find your yummy. People often don't know how to season. Learn how to use salt and spices. Understand sweet, sour, and salty better." The interviewer asks, "Is there a kitchen tool that's worth a splurge?" Hall says, "Spend $130 to $150 on a heavy-duty, multi-ply, stainless steel, 4-to-5-quart pan that you can make almost everything in. Soups, stews, roast meat, and you can do a shallow fry. Use it with or without the lid." The interviewer says, "On Halloween Baking Championship, you and fellow judge Katie Lee and Zach Young dress up. What's one costume you'll wear?" Hall says, "One of the themes is the Addams Family. You have to guess who's going to be Wednesday and who's going to be Morticia." SEAL Team, season premiere Wednesday, October 7th at 9, 8 Central on CBS. This is how you open a season. With a heart-stopping car chase through Belgrade, Serbia, that doesn't let up until a fiery crash in front of the stately Parliament building. The cinematic hour of SEAL Team is the first of a two-parter shot on location in the picturesque Eastern European capital, where the elite Bravo unit has been deployed after the bombing of several American military outposts. Bravo's leader, gutsy Jason Hayes, played by David Boreanaz, and his number two sniper, Ray Perry, played by Neil Brown Jr., take a step-by-step approach to finding the terrorist mastermind behind the crimes. They're working their way up that food chain, pursuing money launderers to bomb makers, says exec producer John Glenn. He has since exited the show. Particularly in the opening, Boreanaz says, Jason is revved up. His headspace going into these missions is like a high-octane 650-horsepower Mustang that just roars. Down the line, that affects him. You can't blame the guy for putting all his energy into the job. Jason has been worn down by the loss of his wife, who died last season in a car accident, and his kids going off to college and boarding school, the actor says. There he is alone, out of the house he sold, living in a one-bedroom place above a garage. No wonder Hayes, aka Bravo 1, needs all the support he can get. When season 3 begins, multilingual Clay, played by Max Thoreau, is back, having recovered from the leg injuries he suffered in a Manila bombing. And brilliant CIA handler Mandy, played by Jessica Paré, is able to work with the unit in the field. Still, there's potential for trouble. Jason makes a huge decision in the first two episodes that affects Ray and tests Ray's loyalty to him and Bravo, Glenn reveals. How it all plays out will involve more international locales. 4 episodes worth of material was shot over 3 weeks in Belgrade. The city will later double for Paris. And not all the tension we see was faked. Brown notes, "Tactically, driving in live Serbian traffic was scary, man. Scary." By Kate Hahn. Almost Family, Series premiere 9/8 Central on Fox, Wednesday, October 2nd. Julia Betchley, played by Brittany Snow, thinks she's an only child, until news breaks that her father, noted fertility doctor Leon Betchley, played by Timothy Hutton, secretly used his own genetic material to help couples conceive. Many couples. That's the tantalizing premise of this new Fox drama, which follows the now unmoored Julia, who is already driven and a bit self-destructive, as her potential half-siblings emerge. Among the first confirmed, childhood frenemy Edie Palmer, played by Megalyn Ichinokwak, a stern lawyer, and former gymnastics star Roxy Doyle, played by Emily Osment. A stranger to them both who sees the opportunity in the media uproar. Roxy loves drama, and also her Instagram followers are going to go up, explains Osment of the athlete whose star is diminishing. As the three get to know one another and meet more possible Betchley babies, Ugly Betty's Michael Urey guest stars October 16th, their father deals with the legal and personal ramifications. Notes executive producer Jenny Mulline, he thought he was doing good. By Jim Halterman. Cold Pursuit, Saturday, October 5th at 8, 7 Central on HBO. Since his career-defining action turn in 2008's Taken, Liam Neeson has employed his particular set of skills to find and kill bad guys in movies that take place all across Europe, in Los Angeles and New York, in airplanes and on commuter trains. And in Alaska, too, if you count Very Hungry Wolves. In his latest, a very dark comic thriller, Neeson plays a snowplow driver in wintry Colorado out to avenge the murder of his son. He attempts to knock off the members of a drug gang one by one with a particular set of tools, among them trees and, yes, a snowplow. By Michael Fell. And that's all for today. I'm Rachel Renner.